Carroll.
KCIM Sports presents the Pizza Ranch Saturday Morning Coaches Show with Sports Director Jeff Blankman.
Thank you very much, John, and good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome here to the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We'll talk with Ryan Steinkamp of the Kemper football team. They fell last night up at number one West Lyon. We'll also recap the season with Kemper volleyball coach Rusty Wintermote. We're also going to bring Sean Burks from the Audubon football team in with us this week, and we'll chat with him as well. Deb Danner taking the week off. They did not have a meet this week. They're headed over to Ames for their state qualifying meet. We'll catch up with Deb next week, and that interview will be posted on the podcast center on our website at sports.1380kcim.com. But again, we'll talk with Coach Steinkamp, Coach Wintermote, and Coach Burks coming up here shortly. But let's run through last night's scoreboard. Tough night for the Kemper football team. Really good start to the game, even though West Lyon scored on their first possession to go up 7-0. Kemper marched right down the field. Got a 1-yard touchdown run from Jared Hoffman. That tied the game at 7-7. We would go into the second quarter tied at 7-7. But West Lyon would put 35 points on the board in the second quarter to lead 42-7 at half. West Lyon would add another touchdown early in the third to make it 49-7. Now, Jared Hoffman would score on a touchdown run in the fourth quarter for Kemper. But the final score last night, West Lyon 49, Kemper 14. Knights wrap up a great season, though. They finished 9-2 on the year. And again, they were district champions. The rest of the Class 2A final scores from last night, Prairie City Monroe rose by Mid Prairie 41-0. It was Spirit Lake cruising by North Fayette Valley 42-13, and Van Meter handles Anamosa 31-0. Class 3A, Humboldt down Solon 35-3. Sergeant Bluff Luton routes Nevada 53-21. Wallert knocks off Independence 24-7. And the first tight game on our scoreboard here this morning, Mount Vernon over Algona 31-28. In Class 1A, Grundy Center down Sumner Fredericksburg 35-6. It was Dyke New Hartford beating South Hardin 36-19. Hinton tops Underwood 37-15. And Wilton holds on to beat Regina 21-14. In Class A, West Hancock downs Woodbury Central 44-15. Tri-Center rolls past ACGC 47-20. St. Ansgar over Maquoketa Valley 44-13. And Madrid tops at Lisbon 27-14. Moving to Class 4A, it was North Polk over at Cedar Rapids Xavier 35-14. Pella downed Gilbert 19-14. North Scott edges by Decorah 28-24. And Lewis Central beats ADM 32-25. And in Class 5A in the semifinals, it was Iowa City Liberty over Ankeny 21-13. Dowling Catholic down Ankeny Centennial 14-10. Southeast Polk over Iowa City West 42-15. And Valley beat Johnston. The final there was 38-35. That was a high scoring and a balanced affair. Now the semifinals get underway Wednesday up at the Dome in Cedar Falls with 8-player action. At 10 o'clock in the morning, it'll be St. Mary's of Remsen against Bishop Gehrigan. Then around 1 o'clock, it'll be Gladbrook Rhinebeck against Lennox. Now the A and 4A semifinals are on Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning in Class A. It'll be Madrid against West Hancock. Following that game at around 1 o'clock, it'll be Tri-Center against St. Ansgar. At around 4 o'clock, Lewis Central takes on Pella. Then at about 7 o'clock Thursday night, it's North Scott against North Polk. On Friday in Class 1A at 10 in the morning, Wilton battles Grundy Center. Following that game at around 1 o'clock, it'll be Hinton against Dyke New Hartford. Now in the Class 5A comes up Friday late afternoon and evening. Valley squares off with Dowling Catholic at 4 o'clock. It'll be Southeast Polk against Iowa City Liberty at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, the Class 2A semifinals get everything underway. Spirit Lake takes on Prairie City Monroe at 10 o'clock. Van Meter against West Lyon at 1 o'clock. And then at the 3As are late that day. Wallert Catholic against Sergeant Bluff Luton at 4 o'clock. And Mount Vernon against Humboldt at around 7 o'clock next Saturday evening. And that's a look at our scoreboard on this Saturday morning here on the Pizza Ranch at Coaches Show. We'll be back. We'll talk with Ryan Steinkamp for the Kemper Knights coming up next.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Carroll Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single-topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Whoa, that's good.
If you're looking to refresh your home with new floors, now's the time. We've got Barrett in from Flooring America right now. Barrett, it is the best friends bonus sale.
Right now, if you refer a friend to Flooring America, you each both save $1,000.
That is an awesome saving. So, I mean, if I had a friend to bring in the market for new floors, now's the time to do it.
Yes, imagine me referring you for $1,000.
I like it.
We both get $1,000.
The question I'm going to have, though, Barrett, is which floors do I choose?
Well, you could choose whatever you want. You could go hardwood, tile, carpet. It doesn't make any difference. But $1,000 off, both of us, that's 2G.
I really like it. You and your friend both will have new floors, new entertaining on those great floors right before the busy holiday season. And, of course, Barrett, if I can't pay for it all today, Flooring America has financing, too.
36 months financing.
0% interest, 36 months plus. Refer a friend and you each can get up to $1,000 off. That's why friends send friends to Flooring America, 1318 Highway 30 West in Carroll.
Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on 1380 AM 95.1 FM KCIM. Jack Blankman joined here by head coach Ryan Steinkamp. We're up in Inwood as we just wrapped up the quarterfinal round football game. Knights falling on Friday night 49-14 to the number one ranked team in the state. Coach, people are going to look at that score, not going to realize that first quarter was really good. You guys marched the ball right down the field on them, scored on your opening possession of the ball game, tied this thing up at 7-7. Was really impressed with the way the offense came out and kind of did what they needed to do. A lot of short passes, got kind of the ground game going, but just a nice steady drive.
Yeah, you know, start the first quarter when it recorded a game plan. Too, you know, we had them fourth and inches, and they got it, but they had measuring, it was close too. So no, like, yeah, first quarter, you know, the kids executed. I was really proud of their efforts. You know, we made adjustments, they made adjustments. It was a chess match, you know, the first quarter and part of the second quarter, and then, you know, then they made some big plays that kind of hurt and put us in a bad position that kind of hurt us.
I hadn't seen you guys really, not that you didn't throw short passes all year, but tonight really looked like that was a focus early in the game.
Yeah, you know, they had those safeties high over top too, or, you know, they're athletic. They're guys, yep. You know, it looks like they have linebackers back there at safeties and stuff like that too. So they're really taking that away. And then their middle linebacker is sneaky and quick. They take away those slants. So that's what I don't think open. And we did a great job of completing them. It's tough to march down consistently doing that.
Looked like they came out with a lot of energy. Your guys did tonight. What was kind of the mindset for you guys coming into this one?
No, we just talked all week about, you know, like, hey, let's go up there. Like, we're not coming up here, you know, to delay an egg or whatever.
Right.
You know, we came out fired. Like, our kids had a lot of heart and passion, and, you know, they executed the game plan too, and, you know, the vibe was great and stuff like that. And I know, you know, they started getting up on us a little bit, making plays too, but our kids battled, and, like, you know, they love it. All goes to the seniors just playing their heart out there.
First drive for them, which was the opening drive of the game, they ended up scoring, but I thought you guys made it really hard on them. They did get that 130-yard pass on the, I think, 3rd and 20 or whatever that kept their drive alive.
Yep,
but
yep.
What was the defensive mindset going in? What did you want to take away from them?
We wanted to take away the run. I mean, we put an 8-man box, and, you know, we dared them to pass, and they hit us. And their skill players are good, and their quarterback is good too. I mean, I think he's they're over 70% on the year. Like, they pass because they want to, not because they have to. And we knew that was rolling the dice. But, you know, we got them in that 3rd and 20 because we were stopping the run, and they had to pass it. But the receivers go out there and make plays. They have some athletic guys, and our guys are in the right spot. Just didn't make those plays when we had to have them.
The Hildreth kid was their leading rusher all year, but wasn't the starter for them tonight. It was the Hoff kid. I had a feeling we'd see Hildreth, and we finally did. But does that change up their running? Maybe not play calls, but change up the way they run the football with a different guy in the backfield?
No, not really. I mean, they're both pretty good running backs. You know, the Hoff kid was just kind of injured in the regular season and got healthy for the postseason. He's a little bit more of a bruiser than the number 15.
Coach, that interception after they had jumped up 14-7, they return it for a touchdown. That kind of opened things up a little bit. What were you telling your guys on the sidelines at that time?
No, then I was like, no, let's get the ball back, go score. I knew we were getting the ball to start the second half too. So my biggest thing I could tell was, like, yeah, keep it a 2-score game. Keep it a 2-score game. Like, you know, offense, you know, we gotta march down and score. You know, they caused a turnover. You know, they got short field a couple times. It didn't help our defense out a whole lot.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it put us in a bit of a bind. But the biggest thing was, like, even, you know, when it got to be like 28-7, it's like, hey, let's go score and get the ball to start the second half too. And yeah.
So often, what did they change defensively that started to take away the short passes, or what happened there?
I mean, they have a really good D line, so they're rushing forward, dropping 7. So I mean, there's guys everywhere. I mean, it was they were playing cover 2. They had with outside linebacker. They put just the one linebacker in the middle, and then they still had outside linebackers in the hook to curl. So pretty much taken away taking away a lot of stuff and still getting pressure with their good DNs.
Coach, back to your guys' first drive, I forgot to ask you, Carson Canny, I think he's 3 of 3 throwing the football this year, just shy of getting a touchdown, almost had one here tonight.
Yeah, that was a great play call. Coach Bosami called that one. That's kind of when we drew in the dirt Thursday morning. I texted him, hey, we should run this, and he called it right away. And yeah, the kids executed. Great catch by Tragan.
What did they start and how did they start having success? You guys were trying to crowd the box. You said to take the run game away, but yep, Eventually that run game started to have some success.
Yeah, I knew we had one weakness, and they found it pretty quick too. On the weak side, we didn't really have an alley player or a pitch player because the safety is playing. Right. They went trips, and then they went weak side. I knew eventually we'd do it. We made a couple of adjustments, but then there's a lot of space, and I it wasn't ideal. Then we had to switch up the defense a little bit too. And yeah, Ryan Sundrup did a great job for us, and he was taking on 2-3 guys, and having the safety was putting a lot of space then too, and they started attacking us there.
How much did it hurt not having Tate tonight and to have him go down in warm-ups?
It definitely did help too. Tate poured his heart and soul into football and been an absolute fantastic leader for us. And yeah, I know I mostly just felt for him that he didn't get an opportunity to play too. I know he was battling this all week long. He was going to try to go tonight too, and the warm-ups just wasn't, I could tell it wasn't feeling the best for him.
Coach, it was a 42-7 game at halftime, so you have the continuous clock there in the second half, but that doesn't take away. We're going to talk a little about the season. We'll kind of do that here real quick. But you guys win 9 in a row. We talked about that in the pregame. What a job by your coaching staff and your players to kind of turn things around after that Helan loss. And I don't think everybody realized how good Helan was at that time.
Yeah. Like I said, from where we were beginning the season, from like our scrimmage to our week one, like the kids flipped the script. They just started buying in and started believing too. And the credit goes to the senior leadership that we had, and it's really proud of them.
Talk about that senior group here and what they meant to you.
Yeah, just a great group. Those guys have played a lot of football. Just really unselfish guys, kind of quiet guys. They're lead by example type of crew. They're not big rah-rah type, but they do the little things right too. They hold other people accountable, and just a great group of kids, and I know they're gonna have bright futures.
And I you told me in the pregame that they sing songs. What was the song they sang tonight on the way here?
They're pretty quiet. That's usually post-game song.
Okay.
Post-game songs. Yeah, after a win. So I don't know, they might still be singing. We'll find out tonight.
Coach, one last question for you. I know you gotta get rolling, but we'll wrap things up. You're graduating, as we just said, a great group of seniors, but there's an awful lot of young talent that saw the field this season and saw the field tonight. The future looks bright. What did this group got to do? You want them wrestling, you want them playing basketball and baseball and everything else. You were a four-sport star growing up. What do they got to do, though, when they can get the chance to work on football to get you guys to that next step?
Yeah, a lot of it is being multi-sport athletes. That kids go out for sports. We tell them all the time, too. I'm really blessed. I got my the freshman coaches are the head wrestling and head basketball coach too. So we want our kids out. We want them to do stuff in the springtime and get them lifting. It's the simple things that they just got to keep buying into. And the senior group did that. And that's the recipe for success. And I'm excited for the future. We'll let this simmer down for a little bit. We'll have a meeting here in the near future talking about that. But yeah, just really excited about the those seniors definitely left Kemper Bowl in a better place than they found it.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all of the time. Thank you for everything this season. And we look forward to seeing you on Sunday out at the Rewind All-Star Festivities.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Okay. I'll check my calendar then, yeah.
Again, head coach Ryan Steinkamp joining us again here. That's going to wrap up things here again. The Knights falling again on Friday night by a final of 49-14. We'll be back with more of the Pete's Ranch Coaches Show coming up next here on Kick 106.7.
Today is the Carroll American Legion's annual fundraiser. From 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., swing by Wendell's Weapons at 810 Highway 30 East and drive through to donate. Plus, with any donation, you'll receive a one-day pass to use at the indoor range. Then keep the fun going with their fall dance featuring Henry and the Haymakers from 7 to 11 p.m. It's a freewill donation event with a cash bar. Come dance the night away and support the American Legion at 1124 Hyers Avenue in Carroll, open to the public.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Carroll Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Whoa, that's good.
Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on this is Saturday morning. We're talking Kemper Volleyball. Head coach Rusty Wintermode joining us right now. The Knights wrapped up a tremendous season again down at the state volleyball tournament. And as always, Coach, appreciate you joining us. How you doing today?
Well, yeah, I'm doing well. I've had several days of trying just to unwind and kind of complete some end of season, you know, projects, you know, setting up banquets and just kind of, you know, just trying to relax a little bit. But it's been hard trying to figure out what do I need to do after school on, you know, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And it's just like, oh, this is just weird. And it takes me a little while until I start doing some basketball officiating. But it's going well. How have you been since Tuesday?
I've been kind of a little bit strange as well, not being in a gym every night, but you know, surviving, getting everything ready to go for Sunday's Rewind All-Star festivities, which you will be a part of. So congratulations goes out to you and to the girls for that. If they hadn't noticed, and I think maybe some of them had, but Brianna Wittrock was our Player of the Year, and you are Coach of the Year, and our second highest vote getter in the Player of the Year went to Kaylee Simons. So you guys swept the awards this year and you know, kind of dominated the awards for our All Rewind stuff this year.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's an honor to, with all the good coaches and quality coaches that we have in this area this season, with the success that all of them had, you know, through ESAC and Carroll and Coon Rapids, Bayard, out of it. I know I'm going to forget some, but I can't, man, and you had a ton of great coaches out there. I'm just blessed for the opportunity that these girls, especially, you know, Bree and Kaylee, were able to bring as leadership and just the success that they've been able to enjoy. But they'll be the first ones to tell you they had a lot of great teammates around them to give them those opportunities. And, again, for a coach to get an award, sometimes you have to have the horses to get you there to drive the wagon, and we did again, and we were blessed with there was some luck within there, but you know what, I believe these kids just built their own luck, but we can talk about it as we go, but thank you very much for that, the honor.
You bet, Coach. We'll talk the entire season, kind of look at some of your highlights here in just a moment, but do got to talk about Tuesday's match. You guys fall to Wallert Catholic in the quarterfinals down there at the 3A state volleyball tournament, ending your season at 37-4. You lose the first set, kind of looked a little off maybe in that first set you had mentioned in the postgame, and so did some of the girls, that they did some things that you hadn't really seen on film in that first set, adjusted well, ended up winning the second set, led late in set three, and then that one slipped away, and then Wallert got out quick in set number four. But as you've looked back, what are the memories, what are the thoughts you're going to take away from that that loss to Wallert on Tuesday?
Well, it's always the first thought was, especially what the next day, getting to watch Wallert play in that semifinals and thinking about what could we have done. And it's always the yes, hands, butts, candy, and nuts type of conversation. But what I'm going to take away from is that, you know, this group could have easily just, you know, on the big moment, the big stage, could have stepped back after that first one and really thought, oh, here we go again, and really not put in their best effort, just kind of be glad that they were there. But this group had a different mentality to them, and that they felt like they deserved to be down there, that they were going to come out in set two and give a better performance and try and finish strong. And of course, set two was really nice to see them. Really, as I always say, on four things, they built up on the three phases. The serve receive was going well, the setting was getting to the target, and then the hitters were having opportunities up at the net and not so far back. Set three, we were really in control, and then we just ran into a couple of serve receive rotations that we just, serve receive rotations that their server caused us problems. But they also started in set one and set three. They did some things differently in each set. You know, the first set they came out really pounding the middle, but it wasn't necessarily right at the middle. It was just moving them slides and running them away from the setter. They weren't really running at the setter. And whenever we watch video, it seems like the last six or seven matches that we played, everybody's doing something that they did not do on the videos. It's like, maybe I just got to quit watching videos and just make adjustments as we go. And unfortunately, in game one, we just didn't make them fast enough. But we learned from them. And in game two, we made a lot of adjustments that the kids we felt like could handle, that we compared it to these teams, and this is what we did. So it was something that we had worked on already. And they came out and really got more touches, got more blocks in two, and then even in three. We really started out well defensively, but we just ran into a server that caused us some problems. And for whatever reason, I was not able to come up with a remedy to the stoppage, and they were able to, outdo us, I guess you can call it that. But the kids hung in there, even when they were up three or four late and it got tied, they could have just laid down and let it happen. But they fought through every point that there was, and, God bless them for that, because it's a sign of what these kids were made of. And step four just did not go our way no matter what we tried to do. It was just their moment. And like we've always discussed, we may play them another 10 times, and I believe we could win more than 50% of those matches because of what we have. And today was just not our day. But you know what? Two seniors that are leaving us, Carson and Brooke, provide great leadership during that match. The kids, they were very disappointed the rest of the night. But I think that's more of a driving point for them right now about next season, because they were actually talking about next season and what we have coming back and what we're going to try and do. So they're thinking way ahead of me right now, and I'm just trying to think about what I got to get done before the end of the end of the week. But they're a driven group, and I believe the kids that they have with them, minus the two seniors, are going to be just as driven as they are to bounce back and show that we belong down there again. And hopefully I can have a chance to go down a fourth time and get some other kids an opportunity as well to get down there.
Coach, you mentioned the two seniors in Brooke Roy and Carson Overmull. Let's talk a little bit about them. What did them two mean? Because I thought both of them had fantastic years. Both of them made second team and are all Rewind.
Well, we'll start out with Carson. Carson is going into the second year starting setter. And Carson, she learned over the these last couple of years and even her sophomore year of how to be a good teammate and to show support. And Carson probably will tell you she's the hardest person on herself, because she's always just, she gets angry with herself and she wants to fix it. And we had to learn how to be calm about things. And she did a great job this year using more of her voice and direction of people and, encouragement. Sometimes as a setter, you might have a tendency, because you're the leader, to really get too loud and vocal, but Carson really had a calming effect this year, and I think that helped her out as well, to learn that play is done, and that's something she had to learn. The play was done. We got to move on to this next one, and you could see that as the season was going on, especially with her working with two younger outside hitters, and two middle hitters coming in, or middle and a right, and how they needed more communication versus expectations. And once the communication happened, then the expectation from her to them became a little easier for them to absorb. So Carson, for not having a ton of ability or a ton of opportunities her freshman year, but to step in her sophomore year and get a little bit of time, and then her last 2 years of just taking the reins and running with it. If you noticed, you saw she had a wrapped hand quite a bit. She went through some soreness last year, and about partway through the season this year, kind of wielded it, ugly little head, because she jammed it somehow it wasn't on a block, it was on a dig, and her hand, her left hand, is a very tender hand, so we had to kind of monitor that a little bit. But she was one of those, the old-time kids is like, my hand is going to have to fall off for me to come out of this match, and she always had to try and convince me that it was going to be fine, and we monitored it a little bit. But to fight through the pain that she had and still have success and leadership and helping these kids understand was just phenomenal. When you talk about our other senior, Brooke Roy, you know, 3 years ago, we didn't know if Brooke was even going to play. Changing of coaches, she just didn't feel like she was part of it, I guess, but that's been passed, and we just discussed with her how we felt like where she fit in the role. And, you know, if you ask a kid where they began when she was a sophomore, where she ended as a senior, she was probably the most consistent kid I had as far as passing in the back row. And if you ask somebody that, what kind of demeanor does Brooke have? And Brooke was one of those, I'll show you by demonstrating, and I'm not a yeller, I'm not a talker. She's a, you know, just a very caring kid. But she learned how to play a position and understand her role. And she wanted to serve once in a while and didn't want to serve once in a while. But she just wanted to show everybody she could be the player that these kids could count on. And Brooke was just fun to watch build and prosper over the last, you know, 3 years. And that serve-receive group with Bree and Kaylee, they're really going to miss her and her desire to always try and find a way to be that best passer that she could, because that was her role. And you know, she also had to learn that, you know, a mistake would happen. And I just had to remind her, don't look at your coaches. You make a mistake, you look at your teammates, and then you figure it out. So don't look at us anymore. And so we kept building on that. And so Brooke did not look at us when she made a mistake. She just only looked at us when we would conversate with her. And that's a sign of somebody that's growing and knowing that she has to lean on others. And this group really absorbed Brooke and her thoughts and her ability and her heart on her shoulder all the time. I don't know if there was a time that Brooke ever did not have an aching body part on her, just like Carson, when the matches were done. So those two, Brooke was a quiet leader, a demonstrator, and Carson was that, worked into more of a vocal, a talker, and both of them were very well respected by their teammates. And, you know, as one of those things, those two got the biggest hugs from everybody at the end of the season and how much they were going to be missed by everybody. But knowing what they've established and brought to the table, they're going to be two shoes that are going to be hard to fill. But our kids that are coming back will find a way to bring in two new people to replace two awesome kids that are leaving our program.
Coach, a tremendous year for you guys, led by those two seniors. You go 37-4, 9-1 in the Hawkeye 10. You end up sharing the title with Glenwood and Lewis Central. As you look back over the season, was it that win late in the year against Lewis Central to kind of clinch that conference championship for you guys? Or what stands out for you about when you guys played and who you played against?
Well, really stood out was really kind of at the beginning of the season when you took a young team into, well, before I talk about that, this team, when we first established it, we were predicted to finish fifth in the Hawkeye 10. Nobody really kind of gave us a chance. They had Shenandoah and Clarinda and Lewis Central winning and Glenwood getting second. They had all those four teams above us. And that was kind of like, to me, was it a shock or was it realistic? It was, to me, I really kind of took it as, okay, that's a challenge. And when we started out with Van Meter, who was rated at the time at 13 and really showed some nice success, and especially in kind of a short time to really kind of get going. But that was kind of an indicator to me what team I thought we could have with, you know, the 10 to 12 kids that we would have playing varsity. But then we played fine, and then we got into the Humboldt tournament. And, you know, we always start out with South Hardin, and, of course, South Hardin was at state this year. But it's always one of those things that's like, oh, wow, this is going to be another good test for this young group. And when they really came out and played well in that win, it's like, okay, I see another building block, and that these guys – you could sense that they were starting to believe a little bit early in the season. You know, each tournament brought its own little realm. We had our own five-team quad, and when we were able to beat a rated Rolling Story team, and so I don't want to say all the rated teams that we beat were the ones that really kind of drove us, but I think when you look at a young team, those caliber teams that we played really helped build their confidence for going into conference play, and then we had to step into Clarinda, who was scheduled to beat us and place high in conference, and when we beat them 3-1, you could see another step taken forward off of these group, and I think the loss, probably the indicator to how I thought this team would react, you know, by the next batch was when we got to Clarinda, when we got to Glenwood, and we knew they were improved. They were predicted again to be at the top of the conference, and for the kids to battle 3-1 and really was a close match, but yet to lose, you could tell that next day at practice they were not satisfied with themselves. So you could see a demeanor building in them. And even though that was late in the season, we still had lots of good matches to go to. And then we go step into the Hampton Dumont tournament. And again, they took on a rated team in Rolling Story and beat them. And then they had to play Ankeny Christian in the finals, and they were number one in 1A. When they won that, I think that was the tipping point when they won that, because then that helped them understand that if we can play and beat the number one in 1A, and they were really good because of who they had beaten, you know, the Ankenys, the Waukees, you know, they had beaten some 5A teams. It's like, okay, we can be in this situation and we can play. And then, you know, they got to step in and play Lewis Central. The only match they had that week, I got to play Lewis Central, and well, actually, that was Hampton Dumont was after Lewis Central. So I'm going to say the win at Lewis Central, again, against Lewis Central, probably really helped them to beat Rolling Story and Ankeny. But they were so excited, I felt, the fact that they gave themselves an opportunity to finish tied for first in the conference where they weren't supposed to be. But, you know, I also sensed that they felt like they had more to accomplish, and then you go and beat Ankeny Christian. And then we end our season with Harlan and Sergeant Bluff. And Sergeant Bluff was, we knew coming in when they were rated in the top 15 of 4A that they were an improved team because they had some kids back this year, an outside hitter and a setter that weren't there last year who were out due to injuries, that they would be a changed team. And for them to battle really helped them to prepare them for, you know, the regionals next week. So I'm going to say really was just the wins as we went. It wasn't, there were some that weren't pretty, but we got it done. But realistically, I think the what woke them up and solidified what I felt like this team was going to be about was the loss to Glenwood and the next day's practice to get ready for what we had going forward. Just a driven group because they knew they had let themselves down. And they bounce back. And anytime you can find kids that can bounce themselves back without you having to provide the energy for it, you know you got something special to work with.
Coach, this was such a fun season. You mentioned the girls already kind of moving forward, talking about what they need to do. What are you hoping to see from the returning girls? Because this team's got a chance to be loaded next season.
Well, I think what I look for is the idea that our coaching staff gets to work with them more in the skills part of their development, such as Elsa really wants to find someone to help her out in the off season on getting better at her jump setting and getting it to her targets and have a little more continuity or just some similarity to all our sets. You got your two outside hitters that are returning in Colby and Mariah, and just the growth I think you're going to see mentally. I want to see more mental improvement of the game as far as just believing in yourself, because those two kids were hard on themselves more than they needed to be. For Kaylee, I think it's, Kaylee, I think is already determined to fix the problems that she felt like she had in the passing department, because she didn't feel like she was as strong as she should have been. And so for her, it was more of a, we're gonna fix the mental part of the game for her, or she's gonna work on that to get ready for, you know, our off season stuff next summer. Bree is one that's gonna have to take a little bit longer, because Bree is having surgery. Next week she's having a surgery. I think it's her hip. She's had played with kind of a partially torn labrum, and she was feeling the pain. So maybe Bree didn't want that out there, but it's out there now. But Bree is to get healthy, and then just coming back and working on her timing with the setters. But I got to find that replacement for Brooke. And, you know, I think there are several people that can play into that. If I just look at the varsity-only returning kids, you know, I really think Mia Milligan is going to really try for that spot. You know, you can look at Megan Keys and possibly even Morgan Matching trying to fill in as a DS as well, too. But, you know, Morgan filling in as a hitter, where can I get her to be a hitter and a part of the program as far as her ability to get up and swing hard and quick like a Jersey Knight. And then you got Megan is going to be buying for one of those positions as a setter. So you throw Maren Morrell and Megan in as possible replacements for Carson. Mia, Morgan, and Megan, possible replacements for Brooke. And then we're also going to look at trying improving on Colby and Mariah being six rotation kids. And the reason why I need to make them six rotation kids, or like to, is that got plenty of times this year where I almost ran out of subs. So it's like, oh, I've got to develop some more passers for the back row so we have more less subbing going on. So we're really going to focus on the defensive end of it with kids learning how to play the back row and be more six rotation kids. And also I got to replace Carson as a server. So there's lots of opportunities for kids to come maybe in as a serving specialist, you know, kind of like Kennedy Orr does at Nebraska, or they're a one rotation server, but a two rotation setter. Who knows? But you know what? We've got the kids that are, I believe, because of what they've gotten to experience over this year, are hungry to find out who wants that, who wants to take it, who wants to show that they want it. But they have the teammates that are going to drive them to figure it out, because we believe we need to try and establish all that communication, all that work, all that skills work and teamwork during the summer. And so when we step into the first day of practice, we really kind of have an idea of what group we're going to work with, very similar to what we did this year.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all of the time that you've given us all season long. We appreciate you're going to give us some more time coming up on Sunday as well at the Rewind All-Star Festivities. But congratulations on another amazing season, and thanks so much for everything you do for Carroll Broadcasting.
Well, again, it's not I that does something for you. It's you that do everything for these kids. And I'm just a vessel trying to get the kids to be noticed. And you guys do a great job of providing them with that opportunity. And there aren't a lot of schools in the state. You know, the previous school I was at, we had some good people for newspaper, but we never got on broadcast. And I really believe that the kids, you know, when everybody can hear the name on the radio, because radio is, in my mind, the best-selling vessel for kids to be advertised for as far as, you know, when you're talking school programs. You guys go above and beyond, not only in the sports part, but, you know, just the reports from each school and how they're doing and things like that. So more hats off to you guys, and thank you very much for the opportunity to allow us to expand ourselves into your avenue.
Thank you very much. Again, head coach Rusty Wintermoat with the Kemper volleyball team. We'll be back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
Turkeys may not be able to fly, but at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel, they can trot. And we've seen more than a few running towards weekly $5,000 cash giveaways. Play your way to your share of $25,000 in cash. See Club Wild for details. Every Saturday, all month long, the $5,000 weekly turkey trot. Only at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel. You'd rather... here.
Must be 21 or older. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Today is the Carol American Legion's annual fundraiser. From 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., swing by Wendell's Weapons at 810 Highway 30 East and drive through to donate. Plus, with any donation, you'll receive a one-day pass to use at the indoor range. Then keep the fun going with their fall dance featuring Henry and the Haymakers from 7 to 11 p.m. It's a free will donation event with a cash bar. Come dance the night away and support the American Legion at 1124 Hyers Avenue in Carroll, open to the public.
Wheelers head football coach Sean Burke joining Casey Miners of Carroll Broadcasting Sports Network. Wheelers wrap up their season with an impressive 10-1 record. They lose last night or on Friday night to Remsen St. Mary's 61-20. And Sean, this one's going to sting for a little bit. The boys had a really impressive season. We were talking a little bit before we got started. Hadn't really had the chance to talk to some of the guys yet, but what an impressive season you guys had this year. And it comes to an end in the state quarterfinals.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough. You're never ready for it to end. That doesn't really change, you know, every single year. You know, only one year in the 12 years I've been here did you know when the end was going to be there. It's nice to have that closure, but that's how sports work. You're never ready to be done, and there's only two teams in each class each year that know when they're going to be done once the playoffs start. And, you know, it's tough when you're playing at a place like that where it's a long bus ride. It's a Thursday night, and then got to turn around, get back on the bus, and turn around and come to school the next day. Just just some parts about that just make it sting a little bit more than usual. And but proud of the kids, proud of the season. 10 wins, district title, some really impressive wins, some really impressive individual accolades. And as the time goes on, we'll be able to really look back with fond memories, just like we've done with other teams before. And proud of the way the kids performed this year. And you know, the final game definitely won't define us, that's for sure.
We'll talk about the loss to Remsen St. Mary's on Thursday for you guys. And you got down quick. You know, the offense struggled to move the football. What was it defensively for them that kind of gave you guys struggles on the offensive end?
Yeah, a couple things. You know, defensive ends were doing a really good job of following our pullers. And 26 in the middle, that kid's the real deal. So when your DNs aren't staying blocks long, and your middle linebackers not staying blocked hardly at all, just makes it really, really difficult. And they were good. They're physical. They're long. They're athletic. They're the real deal. And they had a really good game plan. And we had a tough time moving the ball. That it just kind of snowballed a little bit where we started throwing the ball a little more. We had some turnovers. You know, defensively, we allowed some explosive plays in the pass game, which we really hadn't done all year. Special teams, we had a pretty bad punt mixed in there. Just it's how it goes in those last games because you're pushing the issue because it's now or never, and then things kind of get out of hand. But they had a good game plan, and give them a lot of credit.
It seems like Remsen St. Mary's really forced you guys to make mistakes. What were some of the adjustments you made, not just on offense, but on the defensive end, to really try to slow down their rushing attack?
Yeah. You know, they're going to do what they do. You know, they're going to motion and hand it off, but they're also going to motion and throw it. They're also going to motion and go weak side. So you can't sell out on one thing. They've got built-in answers, and they're athletic enough to be able to handle those things. And you know, they got the jet game established, and some of our skill guys started peeking in the backfield, and that's when the tight ends go by us. You start over-committing, and that's when the quarterback pulled for a big touchdown late too. So I wish we would have had Austin and Carter. Obviously, we had some younger guys and some different guys mixed in there, and that's a really tough thing to do when you're just outmanned a little bit, and you have guys out there that are undersized and inexperienced, and they exploited it. Not to say that if those guys would have played, we would have won, but I have confidence it would have been a lot more competitive in both sides of the ball.
You know, with the injuries, you know, you never wish for them, but you got to get some kids in important roles, younger kids, for you last night, and even got to work some of the, you know, second-string kids in late in the game. How does that build their confidence going into next season, especially getting to play in a state quarterfinal with that much, you know, at stake and at play last night?
Yeah, it was, you know, we didn't expect to play the JV guys that much, but that's just kind of the cookie crumbled, and I'm happy because I thought there was some good things that, you know, Mason Steckler is a senior, they got a touchdown. Aiden Kiergaard's a freshman, they got a touchdown. And guys between freshman and senior year, a lot of those guys got in last night. So, yeah, we've got a lot coming back. We're excited. Haven't had time to really think about next year much yet, but, you know, we know our JV was really good. They did some really nice things this year, and there's a nice crop of freshmen, sophomores, and juniors that have seen what the seniors did before them, and it'll be hopefully a chance to reload and make another run.
Taking a look at the schedule as a whole for you, you go 10-1 on the year. You win 10 straight games before Thursday night's loss. You clinch an 8-man District 9 title for back-to-back years for you guys. That's got to be real important going into the redistricting coming up next season.
Yeah, you know, it's these years make it a little more difficult in the offseason, but hopefully things get done in a timely fashion so we know what we're going to have and go from there. But yeah, you know, we went into a very unique district with teams we've never seen before other than Coon and Glidden. And even Glidden we hadn't seen for 2 or 3 years before that. So it was good. It was fun to play at some different places, play against some teams that do some different schemes, and just see some different types of football. So proud of the kids. You know, we went to, Baxter, Collins, Colo, St. Ed, et cetera, and ran the table at 16-0 the last 2 years.
If you look at game one against Cam, you know, to really the end of the season, where are some of the rooms that you felt like the kids really improved in week in and week out along the football, like along defense, offense, special teams, kind of all the way around?
Yeah, I just think there was growth by everybody everywhere. You know, our offensive line gelled as the year went on. You know, our quarterbacks, we played multiple guys. They really got a better feel for the game plan. They could see what adjustments needed to be made. I feel like our skill guys blocked better as the year went on. Defensively, obviously, our secondary played well from start to finish, forcing a bunch of turnovers. Defensive line, you know, you saw the way they played against Woodbine, playing their best football late in the year. So, our special teams got better as the year went on. We had punt return touchdowns. Hayden punted the ball pretty well as the year went on. We covered kicks better as the year went on. It was a great – that's what you get from a mature veteran-led bunch. They really got better week to week, and by the end of the year, we were playing really good football.
If you look at one game this year for you guys, what do you feel like that game was? You really put everything together, played four quarters, and really played Ottoman Wheeler football.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever just played four quarters. I think Woodbine's probably the best example, but even there, we played, a quarter and a half of really good football, and then pieced it together for the end. Xavier HK and Coon Rapids, we hung big numbers. The JV guys did a lot of playing in the second half of those games. It's hard in 8-man football to play four really good quarters, because if you're playing really well and you're running it up, you don't want to score 80 points. You want to get the JV guys in. So there were a lot of nights that we got a lot of guys in, and I would say probably CRB, the way that the JV came in and performed in the second half, and Xavier HK, both of those games, the JV came in and did a really nice job at we kept a foot on the gas even when we had some subs in the game.
You're going to lose a great group of seniors. How do you replace them? It's going to be tough. And kind of talk about them a little bit. How did they build the foundation for success for the younger groups to really see, hey, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be come my senior year.
Yeah, 11 kids are hard to replace. They did a really good job of leading by example, had very few issues this year. We had very few kids questioning their roles. We had very few kids wanting more, asking why they weren't playing. We had very few kids that, didn't buy into what was going on from 1 to 34. And the seniors set that example. They started setting that example a year ago. As juniors, there were a lot of them were playing. As seniors, more of them were playing. They led by example. We just had so few issues this year. It was something we could take for granted. The kids cleaned up the locker room. The kids were leading by example in the classroom. Our school climate, our school culture is really good right now because of what kind of kids we get to coach. And that's something that is we can kind of take for granted, but you definitely don't want to. So just couldn't thank these kids enough. They've taken the bar of Ottoman football and raised it again. Two straight district titles, something we hadn't done before. And, 10-win season is something that hasn't happened very often. Got to another quarterfinal. Just so proud of these kids for what they've done for our program.
despite losing the seniors, you're going to bring back some really big pieces for you. You bring back Clay Van Arnum, Sullivan McLean along the offensive line, Carson Wessel back at running back for you. Implement Carter Obermeyer and Austin Christensen back from injury. And then you look at running back-wise, I think Mason Kasperbauer had a really good season for you guys coming in and filling in for injuries as well. So the offense looks to be in pretty good shape. You know, defensive-wise, you talk about Christensen and Obermeyer on the defensive end. Isaac Sorensen at a D-tackle coming back for you. So really nice pieces to build around for next year's team.
Yeah, you know, our JV had a really good season. We got a lot of young guys with a lot of talent. But there's some big shoes to fill, you know, all three secondary positions, both the ends, you know, there's five big spots on the defense. Offensive wise, we've got a linemen spot and a couple skill spots. So, it'll be fun. I want to see these kids compete in the winter, spring and summer. I want to see them, you know, get after it next summer in the weight room. And, we're excited. We think we can reload, but it won't just happen.
You mentioned a lot of these kids going to play other sports, you know, basketball, you know, baseball, run track, you know, wrestling, stuff like that. What are some of the things in the offseason you want to really see them do? Probably, I'd assume, get in the weight room. And kind of what is that offseason plan going to look like for you guys?
Yeah, we want 3- and 4- sport kids and lifting year-round, taking their academics seriously, make sure, you know, and then next summer attack it really hard, whether they're in baseball or not. We bring them in 4 days a week for lifting and running, and then It's really, you know, it can't thank Coach Christensen and Coach Cogler enough what they do with our strength stuff all year long, but especially in the summer. But yeah, we're not going to tell kids to focus on just lifting or anything like that. We want basketball kids and wrestlers. We want track runners. We want golfers and even tennis players. You know, we've got that knob and people forget. We want kids competing year round. There's something about competing, being around your classmates, and just learning how to compete and balance your time. In the summer, we want baseball kids, you know, figure out how to balance your time and schedule. And then, obviously, we're all coming in the summer to lift and run still. And when August gets here, hopefully we're a year bigger, stronger. We've competed for a year. We're a little more mentally tough. And we'll figure out who's ready to earn those spots next summer.
Sean, that is all I got for you. I want to thank you for joining me. And it's been a pleasure covering you guys so far this season. Looking forward to next year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A highlight home for Mid-Hour Real Estate Team, 1002 Nishnabotna Drive in Manning. Just reduced $9,000. The split foyer offers 4 bedrooms and 1.5 baths. Open living area with fireplace. A spacious kitchen with all appliances included. Downstairs is a 4th bedroom that could also serve as a family room or office space. Outside, you'll enjoy a large deck and spacious backyard. All of this at 1002 Nishnabotna Drive in Manning with a new price of $185,000. This is Brandon Snyder with another quality offering for Mid-Iowa Real Estate Team. Take your tour at MidIowaTeam.com.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Caro Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single-topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Whoa, that's good.
That's going to wrap up our final Pizza Ranch Coaches Show for this fall sports season. We're going to be taking a couple of weeks off. We'll be back December the 7th with our first Pizza Ranch Coaches Show, again with the winter sports season getting underway. Now, we are going to be previewing the girls and boys basketball season with their coaches. You'll get those coming up here on KCIM beginning the week of November the 18th. We'll have the girls preview show on November the 19th, and then again on replayed on November the 24th. The boys preview show will be November the 21st on that Thursday evening, then replayed here on Saturday morning, November the 23rd. It'll kind of replace the coaches show. And then the following weekend, of course, is the holidays with Thanksgiving on being on the 28th. So we'll be back again December the 7th with our next Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. But again, you will get previews. We're also previewing the upcoming wrestling season for both the boys and girls. Those interviews will be available online on our website at sports.1380kcim.com. Again, we'll talk with Deb Danner. That interview for next week from their state qualifying meet today will be posted on our website at sports.1380kcim.com. We'll also preview the upcoming boys swim season with head coach Deb Danner coming up. We'll get that online as well. And again, as I mentioned, the Carroll girls swim team, of course, is at their state qualifying meet going on in Ames today. We wish
Coach Danner and all of the girls the best of luck. Want to thank Ryan Steinkamp, Rusty Wintermote, and Sean Burks for all joining us here today. Also want to thank the coaches that joined us all fall season long here on the Peach Ranch Coaches Show. And, of course, that was Craig Rowetter with the Carroll football team, Riley Ludwig with the Carroll volleyball team. We also talked, of course, with Deb Danner all season long, and we talked cross-country with Thomas Nelson as well, along with Coach Steinkamp and Coach Wintermote. So appreciate everybody tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Your classic.